is an extract from the Nature podcast. For the full show, go to nature.com/nature/podcast.
The mixing of water in the oceans can have huge impacts on processes like climate change. Now, if you imagine what might drive this ocean mixing, you might think of things like tides, temperatures, or winds. But you probably wouldn't think of shrimp. What if the movements of animals in the oceans was impacting the movement of the ocean itself? It may seem unlikely, but John DeBeery from the University of Stanford in California is used to that kind of skepticism.
I think the knee-jerk reaction is to rely on your intuition, and your intuition says these animals are tiny and the ocean is enormous, and so how is it possible that such small things could have an effect?
Undeterred, John and his team set out to see if swimming shrimp really could meddle in marine mixing. Reporter Noah Baker called him up to find out more and started by asking for a bit of background on how ocean waters mix.
The conventional wisdom today is that the winds and the tides are the primary drivers of ocean mixing. So the wind blowing at the surface of the ocean and the tides pulling currents along the bottom will create eddies that eventually break and lead to mixing throughout the ocean.
And what kind of impacts are these things having in terms of what's where in the water column?
Well, mixing is important for the health of the ocean, of course. It helps to bring nutrients to the organisms at the surface. It helps to oxygenate the ocean as well. Perhaps more important for us on land is that the ocean is one of our largest sinks of carbon emissions. And so understanding these processes that govern the mixing in the ocean can be important for us as well. The role of animals is something that really hasn't been considered.
But there are a lot of animals in the ocean, and they're swimming about a lot, creating, I suppose, their own miniature little currents and eddies behind them.
That's right. Even Walter Munk, who's a famous oceanographer, in a paper about 50 years ago, briefly mentioned the idea of animals in the ocean affecting its motion in the same way that the winds and the tides are known to do. It turns out he was just joking, but others, including our lab, have pursued this idea over the years. We've, for a long time, been interested in what are called gelatinous zooplankton. So think jellyfish, organisms that don't have a hard body. And we showed about a decade ago that those individual organisms might be able to lead to a significant mixing. But the larger populations in the ocean are things like krill and copepods, think shrimp-like creatures that swim in huge masses, rising vertically over hundreds of meters in some cases every day. And so in this work, we wanted to better understand what role they might play in ocean mixing.
And you tried to understand that using essentially laboratory experiments.
That's correct. One of the challenges we have in the ocean is not knowing exactly where these organisms will appear. But perhaps more importantly, we really didn't know what the signature of their mixing would be. Would it be a bunch of tiny eddies, swirling currents the size of the individual animals, or might there be some interactions that lead to larger scale effects? And so rather than trying to study this in the ocean, we started with more controlled experiments in the laboratory where we can bring more tools to bear on the problem. The other important step that we took was to use an organism that we could trick into undergoing these vertical migrations dozens of times in a day rather than once per day. And so we used brine shrimp, the sea monkeys that you might know from a pet store, which are what we call phototactic. They're very attracted to light. And so we could use a combination of lasers or even LED arrays in order to trick the animals into undergoing these vertical migrations in the laboratory.
Okay, so there are these little brine shrimp swimming along, and they're leaving tiny eddies in the water behind them. But brine shrimp don't live on their own, they live in big groups. And so what you were trying to work out is whether or not all those little eddies in a large group can add up to make a large eddy, a big effect.
That's correct. And so you can imagine yourself as a parcel of water, and one of these small organisms comes by you, and as it's swimming up, it'll kick you backwards by a few centimeters. But what we found is that in these large aggregations, the next animal will come and kick you a bit further down, and you'll start to pick up some speed in that downward direction. The next animal will come up and kick you again. And so it's almost like an upward stampede in the ocean is leading to this downward rush of water to depth. and the size of the swirling eddies that are created then become as large as the whole group itself, which can be tens of meters in the vertical direction, even though the individuals might only be a few millimeters in size. And so it's that collective effect that we identified in these lab experiments for the first time.
And how big do you think that effect could get? You know, what kind of impact could it start to have?
Well, Bill Dewar at Florida State is an oceanographer who's collected some estimates of how much power is associated with these vertical migrations. And he's found that that amount of power is on par with the power of the winds and the power of the tides, something on the order of a trillion watts. The question that had remained is whether all of that power just goes into churning water locally or whether you could get these larger eddy effects that we've seen here for the first time. So knowing that these animals exist in climatically important regions like the Southern Ocean, knowing that the global reservoir of power is quite large, and now knowing that there's a mechanism that exists that can allow these small animals to create this larger scale mixing, we have a lot of pretty strong circumstantial evidence that this is important. And now the next step will be going into the ocean and seeing this directly by shipboard measurements, most likely.
Up until now, models of ocean systems haven't included this organismal impact that you are discussing in this paper. Have they been getting it wrong? Have these models not been churning out results which match with the kind of observations that we can take?
The data at present, I don't think, is sufficient to rule out the possibility that we're missing an important feature in terms of animal effects. But I would also say that it's important that we get definitive field measurements to complement these laboratory studies before going to the ocean modelers and telling them to do things differently than what they're doing right now. But the great thing about science is that we can take measurements and find out whether we're right or not.
That was John DeBerry from the University of Stanford. You can read his paper over at nature.com/nature, but that's not all. If you are dying to see the currents created by his synchronized shrimp swimmers, our YouTube channel has a video which should just about scratch that itch.